This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Man, let's talk about the NBA.
Yes.
Can we?
Yes. Playoffs, baby.
Jared Sutton, will you talk about the NBA with us? Will you?
I am happy to. Nothing gets me more excited here, especially with Mace kicking off Friday. Let's talk playoffs.
Describe.
Can we talk Damian Lillard, by the way?
My God. Describe how good Damian Lillard is. Go.
So, 154 points in three games. That's a 51.3 point per game average the last three. And this all while they are in desperation mode to make the playoffs. And he pulls up from three while down in a elimination game from the logo. So, that's how locked in Damian Lillard is.
That dude,
he's so good.
Is obviously a phenomenal basketball player. Mentally, you talk about locked in. That guy is a machine, isn't he? When it comes to just like his mental approach to the game, his dedication, all that.
Yeah, he's a bulldog, and you know his attitude and mentality is respected by not only his teammates but the rest of the league. And look, Damian Lillard plays for Portland, right? It's a smaller market compared to other NBA markets. Damian Lillard chose to stay in Portland. He'll end his career there. They love him there. He is the consummate pro. And I think the biggest thing with Damian is when we talk about point guards, there's a lot of names that get talked about. And Damian sometimes gets left off of that discussion. And the reality is, you know, he is a absolute star in our league. He is a winner. He's a closer. And, you know, there's guys in the league that can get numbers, right? They can score points. They can get assists, steals. You know, they can be all-stars. But do they really care about winning? And, you know, look, the West is a tough, tough conference. I'm learning that really quickly just in 1 year with Portland or 1 year with New Orleans of just how difficult it is to win in the West. And, you know, this is a guy that him and CJ are the two names you talk about. They've added more pieces around Damian to where they can make some noise in these playoffs. And, again, they still have to have the play-in games this weekend with Memphis. But, you know, Damian is a guy that you just watch him. You watch how he carries himself. He's got swagger. And he reminds me of Tyrann Mathieu in some ways of just how he just is able to bring his team together. I just feel like with where this team is at and the way Dame is playing, and look, no – not taking away from what Booker's doing or what some other guys are doing in the bubble, but Damian Lillard is as locked in as anyone, and he's carrying his team, putting them on their back, and especially in fourth quarters and just big moments, he's making plays.
What about that steal last night? I mean, about that freaking steal in that moment in the game, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, he's shown he's a clutch player, but we talk about the shots he hits. What a defensive play.
He's a complete player, and you know, I remember just thinking about when Damian Lillard went to Portland and you know, his story coming from Oakland and Weber State, not a highly recruited guy. And we've talked about before about guys that just have the chip on their shoulder. And to have a chip on your shoulder means you do a variety of things that help your team win. And it's not just about scoring. And look, Damian's had to score, right? He's had to put, you know, scoring first in the bubble to carry his team. CJ has struggled a little bit, so I think Damian is also taking a little bit of that slack as well. But, man, I mean, you just talk about a guy that is doing everything. You touch on the steal. I mean, how about the passing, the assists? I mean, you know, he had 12 assists last night. He's averaging 8 per game. And he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. He's a great ball handler. So you talk about the first-team bubble. I mean, my gosh, there's been some – I think Damian Lillard, Devin Booker probably get a lot of the talk. CJ Warren's in there. Luka's in there. But again, it just gets back to Damian's competitive spirit. And I think that's what gets him so much respect, not just between his teammates, but with the league as well. I mean, Carmelo Anthony talks so highly of him. Carmelo loves playing with him. Can't say enough about Damian. That's the type of respect this guy has.
How pissed off would you be if you're a Suns fan and they go 8-0 in the bubble and they're still left out in the cold?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly one of those things that where you look at where the Suns are at, and I was listening to some of their press conferences after the game, and you know, I think when you look at them going 8-0 in the bubble, I mean, yeah, it's heartbreaking for them, just because they really just performed at a high level. Monty Williams has done a terrific job. You know, he took over in 2018-2019, and he is a guy that I think when you look at the future of the Suns, they're a different team after what they showed in the bubble. They can keep everybody together is the key. And Devin is a big part of that, right? Devin kind of leads the charge of that team. You know, he has been terrific in the bubble, scoring the ball, efficient. DeAndre Ayton looked really good. Mikal Bridges, Kelly Oubre, Javon Carter, a couple of Big 12 guys. Javon Carter has really crafted himself into an NBA player as well. Aaron Baines, Cameron Payne, some guys that are some role players for them. So I think the future is bright for the Suns. I think their Twitter account is the best Twitter account in the league. You need to give that a follow. But I think they showed the league, and I think they showed basketball fans that they're not going to be the Suns of old. They were beating teams handily, like good teams, and you knew what their goal was. It was to give everybody a run for their money for that eighth spot. They deserve a ton of credit, and Monty Williams deserves a ton of credit.
Okay, Jarrett, you and I were talking on the phone a little bit yesterday about this. I've been feeling for some time that in the NBA, boy, if you don't have some serious length, it's hard to be a special player. But Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Fred VanVleet have all kind of shattered that idea. And what about my guy Frank Mason, who I know that he's playing mostly because the Bucks were resting their starters. But in the last two games, Frank Mason, 19 points, 6 assists and 5 rebounds against Washington. And then last night, 18 points and 8 assists against Memphis. Are you surprised by what Frank Mason's been producing the last couple of games?
Not at all. I mean, he's an NBA point guard. You know, the tough part about Frank's situation is, you know, Milwaukee's a great team. They're a 56-win team. They have the most wins in the league this season. And they're obviously the one seed in the East. And you look at their roster, I mean, it's tough for Frank to get on the floor because they got so many pieces. And like you just touched on, you know, Milwaukee plays big. They mostly have big lineups. They like to keep their big guns on the floor. They like size. They like shooting. But Frank's a commodity for them. He's an asset for them. And it's why that they've kept him. They want to keep him. They want to find a place for him. And these games, you know, we played in a game last night that, you know, we didn't have any, you know, chance to make the playoffs. Obviously, we're going home, but we played a lot of young guys that got on film, played a ton of minutes, and showed really well. That's kind of where Frank Mason is still in, but it's a different situation because he's with a team that can compete for an NBA Finals championship, and Frank's got to be ready because you never know what can happen. An injury can happen. All of a sudden, he could be, you know, playing significant minutes in the playoffs. Who knows what could happen? So Frank's got to stay ready, and there's no doubt in my mind that Frank is ready because he's always ready. He's been that way since he was a kid. He's ready for the moment. He's a gamer. You know, and you touch on those Damian Lillard, Fred VanVleet. When a player like of his stature, he's undersized, right? He still gets the job done, and that's what young players need to understand is, it doesn't really matter your stature. If you have that drive, that ability to win games, close game out, and then you look at the position of point guard. So important to have a great point guard that understands the game, understands how to compete, understands how to make plays, not just scoring the ball, but facilitating and doing all the little things. We just touched on the Damian Lillard steal. I mean, Frank Mason is a solid defender. He's shown that he can defend in the NBA. That was a big question for him coming out. So not at all surprised with what he's been doing in the bubble with the minutes he's gotten. He's got to stay ready. And who knows where, you know, Frank Mason's future is, because I know there's a lot of teams that really like him that I think have a place for him where he could play significant minutes. But right now, you know, Milwaukee's happy with him because he's a valuable piece to their organization, no matter if he's on the floor or not.
I want to ask you about some of these matchups. Boy, am I excited. My favorite matchup, shockingly, in the first round is going to be the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets, and a replay of that game that was so much fun to watch last week. Who do you think wins? Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol with Josh Kroenke overseeing things, versus the tag team of Quinn Snyder and Jordan Clarkson. So many local ties, so many names involved in this damn series. Who you got, the Nuggets or the Jazz?
I'm going to go with Denver just because the Michael Porter factor. I talked about this before of, just how good Michael's playing. Jokic and Bol Bol. Got to play it. But yeah, with Denver, I like them in this series. You know, Jeremy Grant is another name to keep in mind and from this team. They got a lot of pieces. They got a lot of size. They got shooting. They got defensive play. Mason Plumlee is a power forward that does a lot for them. They've got to play a lot of young guys. P.J. Dozier, another name to keep in mind. P.J. was with South Carolina, and Frank Martin. He's finally getting some run. 6'6 point guard does a lot for them. But look, if Michael Porter is going to play the way he's playing and they get some minutes from Bol Bol, I think Michael's minutes will be consistent. I think Bol Bol will be situational. But
they Porter Jr. Michael Porter. I'm getting tickets.
Can't get tickets. That's the only
can't get tickets, but you better tune into the series. It is going to be a good one, and you know, not taking anything away from what the Jazz have done this year. You know, they're a very good team as well. Obviously, I think Quinn is one of the best coaches in the league. They got again a star in Donovan Mitchell. We'll see how he does. And Jordan Clarkson's been when Jordan Clarkson is good, this team is good because they need that second line. Another name that will be remembered for a lot of Big 12 fans, George Niang, is on this team. He's getting more consistent minutes. So, you know, I wouldn't write off Utah, but I just like Denver. I think they're playing really well, locked in. They got all the pieces to get out of that first round.
And Donovan Mitchell, such a badass. What a great first-round matchup that's going to be. I can't wait to watch that series. Tell me more about Bol Bol. You saw that full court pass that he made on a dime. I watched that thing like 15 times. I root for him to succeed. And you know, when he's played, he's been productive. Like you said, he's going to be a situational player, but that's quite an interesting weapon for them.
It is, and so much was talked about Bol Bol in the draft. And, you know, just kind of to take you back to Bol Bol being selected and what the draft looked like during his specific draft. I mean, he's obviously, you know, a guy that has local ties here to Overland Park, Bishop Miege. I mean, 7'2", right? And just skilled, able to shoot the ball, able to really do a lot of things with his size, with mobility that you don't really see a lot, especially with coordination. You know, that's a guy that went in the second round. I think he went 44th overall. And there's a reason why he went in the second round. I mean, when you watch the draft, there's always going to be those players that are in that best available column. And it's true. You look at the skill and the talent of what he did at Oregon even, and he got hurt at Oregon. He came back to Kansas City after that injury. He wasn't able to finish the season, but there were just a lot of question marks with Bol Bol. A little bit different than the question marks of Michael Porter, too. I think there were two different things. I mean, obviously, both were health-related. They were red flagged because of injuries and what that was going to be long-term. Michael's situation was much different than Bol Bol's. And there's so much that goes into the draft process it is what's on the floor. It is evaluating the talent and the skill and the ability, but it's also evaluating a lot of other things, right? The medical becomes more important as the draft gets closer. You'll hear more about the medical, but it's also intel. It's also the background. It's also, you know, can this player, you know, go to the league and be a pro? Is he going to be able to figure things out? Is the basketball IQ there? Is the love of the game and the care factor there? And those are things that sometimes you don't know about a young player because a young player at 17, 18 years old has to mature and grow and develop, and it can be a project. And sometimes teams don't want to take that on. And so I give Bol Bol a lot of credit that he's fought through a lot in these first two seasons, and he's getting some run, and he's getting some minutes, and he's showing some good traits of what he's going to be able to bring this team. I think down the road, I still think in a playoff series, Bol Bol is going to be the next phase, the next challenge. I think Michael's ready. I think Michael has shown enough, and I think mentality-wise and attitude, Michael's there. I've seen enough from Michael to know that he's back, he's locked in, he's got his explosiveness back. Bol Bol still has some strength to develop. He's still got some lower body mobility he's got to continue to work on, I think, to be used in a playoff series on the defensive end. But, again, a great story, a kid that is super skilled, so talented. He had the most skill, I think, in that 2019 draft. As far as just size, upside, potential, it was all there. But there was still a lot of question marks with him, and he's starting to, I think, right the ship and answer a lot of those questions.
Bol Bol, I just like to say it. Bol Bol.
Bol Bol.
yes.
You know, grandson of Frank Bull. A lot of people don't know that either.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. He hasn't talked a lot about that. Frank, congratulations.
Guys, no, there's no relation.
Literally twice Frank's size, too. You wouldn't have thought.
He's not. Guys, he's
just
different
said
spelling.
Oakland Park.
Guys,
all right?
It's not Frank Bull's son.
Hey, Frank's been around a lot of blocks at Overland Park. I can promise you that.
Yeah, especially about
block.
20 years ago or
fair
so.
Enough.
You know, that's
if you live in Overland Park, look outside. Know. Frank's been around your block.
That's right.
Thank
yep.
you.
Hey, Jarrett, so the two top seeds here, the Lakers and the Bucks, I think this is going to be interesting. This bubble situation, we all know it's different. And they both did not have a ton to play for down the stretch. The Lakers lost 4 out of 5 in this run-up, and the Bucks lost 5 out of 7 in this run-up. LeBron James had made some kind of cryptic comments about stuff that's happening off the court with the Lakers. Do you think it will be difficult for those two teams to get back on track, or will they be able to, now that it's the postseason, just flip the switch and go back to being the best teams in their respective conferences?
It's a great question, because I will agree that there are some concerns I have. Not I think, major concerns, but with the Lakers, I thought at times they looked like they had it turned on and they flipped the switch, and at times it was, you know, we're not going to push this envelope. We're going to wait for the playoffs. And, you know, obviously LeBron has played well at times. He's also struggled at times to make shots, but LeBron did lead the league in assists this year, and I feel like he is kind of embracing a little bit of a different role. I think LeBron is still going to be killer mentality in the playoffs, but I think he knows he's got Anthony Davis that has been very good in the bubble when he's been playing. They've been kind of keeping him on a minutes restriction just for the playoffs. The Bucks are the same way, but I think the Bucks, you know, Giannis, I don't know if you guys had a chance to see the headbutt that Giannis had in the Wizards game. He was suspended the last game. You know, it's kind of uncharacteristic of Giannis, but I think there's more concerns with the Lakers, just because they have been a little bit up and down in the bubble. You know, and obviously they don't have a couple pieces that are part of their core nucleus. Kyle Kuzma hit a game winner. It's good for that for him, because they need Kyle Kuzma to play well. I know there's a lot of talk about Kuzma and not being a team guy, but he is a skilled shooter that can play the small forward and can do a lot of things. Deion Waiters has to play well. You know, a guy that they signed, J.R. Smith. We've talked about J.R. before. Those guys have to step up, because they don't have Avery Bradley. Rajon Rondo, they think, is going to be back. They need Danny Green to step up. They need these players that are in roles to really help, you know, take them to the next level. And we'll see if that happens, because they have had some hiccups in the bubble. I think the Bucks are more locked in. But again, I think the Bucks that we saw against the Rockets really, I think, showed how you beat the Bucks. You play physical. You start chirping a little bit. You make the game a little bit more physical for them, a little bit more competitive than I think the Bucks. The Bucks get uncomfortable at times, to say the least. I think in playoff series, they have trouble closing. I've said that before. So I like the Lakers, just because LeBron does close games and he is that guy. And I wouldn't write off the Lakers. If they play Portland, my gosh, that's going to be a fun series. 1-8, but the way Portland's playing and the way the Lakers are playing, that could be a fun series. The Bucks, I just worry about them long term in the conference finals and getting to the finals, closing series out and winning that big game.
All right, Jarrett, let's get to another important item in the NBA. I read from the New York Post, Instagram models will be kept outside the NBA bubble. And so, ahead of the arrival of league-sanctioned guests, the NBA will be requiring players to prove longstanding relationships with non-family members, according to a memo obtained by ESPN. The league and players agreed to keep casual acquaintances known by the player only through social media or an intermediary from joining the Disney-based bubble, meaning that any sliding in the DMs stops there.
So Bumble doesn't count?
They're calling this the Insta-ban for the Instagram models. Instagram model Anna Maya is very angry. She says that she got an invite to Orlando in early July, and now she can't go. And so, Jared Sutton, your thoughts about the IG models that now are literally going to be on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I think Woj broke that news, and you know, it was a highlight really for me, just to see, because I knew
shockwaves were sent through the bubble when that news was reported, right?
That's right. I found it funny, you know, just the bubble restrictions for player guests. We knew we were going to get to this phase, and then there has to be comments about, you know, an individual or player that's not previously met a person or known through social media, and it kind of just goes on its own little course about casual.
Inviting anyone you've never met before in the NBA bubble.
Right.
Insert Manti Te'o joke here.
We're gonna learn a lot about players and, you know, who's in their inner circle. I thought it was interesting too what we're just seeing with the Seattle Seahawks, that rookie that brought a female to the team hotel and then they release him. You know, that, I've been kind of curious what's going to happen in the bubble. I think these players, they've handled the bubble tremendously, really, to be honest, since we got to the bubble back in June. I think when you look at this phases that we've gone in and then going into market, going to Orlando, then this revamp to play, playing exhibitions, then finishing the regular season, the players have handled it flawlessly. There hasn't been really any hiccups. You know, outside of a trip to Atlanta to get some wings, there hasn't been any sort of major issues. So we'll see how they handle it. But this was the next phase for the league of looking at bringing family members and children to, and, you know, massage therapists and trainers and things like that to the bubble. But there's a lot of other, you know, things in play here of bringing these individuals to the bubble, and it's gone really well. So the quarantining is a factor. And then obviously, yeah, this situation with who is a actual relationship, who's not a relationship, that's to be determined. And I think that's where the league has really had to sort out over the last month or so of what that's going to look like. But hopefully the players abide by the rules like they've been doing, and this thing moves flawlessly.
So you're not in the bubble, Jared. Can people slide into your DMs if they want right now?
Wow. They unbelievable can. Question.
The DMs are probably still closed for me, even though I'm not in the bubble.
Nate's no. Just asking for a friend.
Just asking for a friend. Oh, I've been sliding into Jared's DMs for a long time.
Yeah, I'm asking for about seven friends that have asked me specifically about Jared Sutton.
Yep.
So, Jared, declaring the DMs closed. No. Is that correct?
I mean, Nate, you're an established, long-standing personal friend, so you can slide in the bubble.
That's right.
That's the rule. Yeah. So you can slide in. You can slide in the DM, man.
You keep my girlfriend out of your DMs, though.
Yeah, right.
Jared Sutton's such a good-looking guy.
I know. None of us stand a chance, Jared. Just leave us alone.
Hold on. Yes, Susan. Yes, Jared's on the damn call. Yes, all right? Leave me alone. Quit knocking on the door, woman. I'll be out there in a minute. Jeez. Doesn't care the other freaking 19 hours I do on the radio a week, and then Jared's on, isn't he? I said, yeah, well, you're listening to the show, you know he's on. All right, so
It's Friday. She knows when I'm on. She knows the time.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you. I think. Hey, Jared, thank you very much for the time. I look forward to talking NBA playoffs with you and the showdown we've been waiting for. We got to do some kind of Zoom conference so we could watch Utah and Denver together. We need to have some kind of late-night Zoom set up by Jake so we could tell the people what we think about those games.
Jake's on it. Jake. I've been waiting for
I'll set it up.
Zoom in by, yeah.
I've been guilted all week into it. I've been slacking, Jake. Apparently.
Jake, when you have Michael Porter Jr. versus Quinn Snyder and Bol Bol is involved, that demands a late-night Border Patrol chat on Zoom. We'll be back after this with Kevin Ioli on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello, this is Quinn Snyder, and you're listening to the best sports talk in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.